Okay, fine. So last week, Shlomi, you there? I don't want to start till the sun. I'm on sound. Shlomo.
Hello, Rabbi.
Oh, you there? Okay, good. No, I couldn't see you, so I didn't know if you were. I just had a big S.
Okay, go across.
Okay, you there? Okay, no, I'll stop that. You're fine. So last week we were speaking about the betochen that somebody has to have in the we're in the third category, betochen when living in solitude. That was really the when a person finds himself a stranger in a strange land without family, without friends. We're dealing with the third category, which is the betochen that relates to relationships with other people, not the betochen that relates to himself, but the betochen that relates to his relation with other people. We're talking about if a person finds himself alone. He's a stranger, he doesn't have family, either a temporary condition or God forbid, a permanent condition. So there are four things that he mentioned that can help a person in this situation. First of all, he should actually remind himself that he's never alone. That's the first thing, because Hashem's always with him. Second of all, he always has Hashem to rely on. He has whom to be Saimachon, Shalom Yonatan. Third thing is his condition is that which is similar to the neshama, because the neshama comes down into this world and it really doesn't relate that well to the people in this world. A little bit like doesn't really, it's also strange in this world. And the fourth thing we said is that everyone's going to stand alone before the Beis Din Shalmala. You're going to stand alone. You're going to have to deal with it on your own. There's no one, there's no friends and relatives that come to cheer you on in that case. Those were the four things we said. Just want to point out, he makes a very interesting observation here. I don't know who this is, but he makes a very interesting observation. And that he says is that when the Chovos HaLevavos describes the correct practice for dealing with in Betochen, when a person's alone, when he finds himself in solitude, he doesn't mention here that a person should have Betochen, that Hashem will take care of him and make sure that he goes to a place where he has family, or he'll find a wife, or he'll have children, and Hashem will... Hashem will take care of his solitude and give him companions. He doesn't say that. When a person's got a problem with panasa, the Chovos HaLevavos says you have to have a tochen that Hashem will, you know, give you panasa, he'll take care of you or whatever. Yeah, he doesn't say that. He just says if you happen to be in this situation, then these are the things you need to do in order to live in solitude. The benefits of living in solitude. So betochen, yeah. The lesson being taught Yain Betochen is that a person has to adapt the correct attitude of knowing what's best for a person, and that's what Hashem's put him in, and that's what's best for him and for the betterment of the world. And his next world as well, for sure. That's the acceptance that a Kodesh Baruch Hu, that Hashem controls and defines one's relationships with him. So a lonely person applies betochen is to focus on the advantages of the situation and to recognize that Hashem is shepherding him with goodness. Those are his words, not mine. I wouldn't use words like shepherding him with goodness. That's not the thing you would hear me say. But anyway, so I was just reading here what he says. But that's the vort. The vort is that betochen is a means to adopting the correct attitude. The person has to have the right attitude to every situation he's in. For sure, he's allowed to. He should daven if he feels that, you know, that this is not good for him and he would be better off with companionship and with family or whatever. For sure, he should daven for it. We always allowed to daven for what you want, even when Hashem wants to give it to you and he can't, because Hashem wants to give you everything you want. It just sometimes he has to say no, like a parent. So for sure, you should daven. But that's not the lesson here. The lesson is, yeah, is when you're in a situation, find out how to look for the good in it and how to develop an attitude of trust in this situation, knowing that it's from Hashem and it's for the good. So it's just an interesting insight that he brings to Dafke Yah, because in the other areas we've been dealing with, that wasn't really the lesson of the Chovos HaLevavos. The lesson of the Chovos HaLevavos was to trust that Hashem will take care of it, you'll get it fine. Now, yeah, you have to accept your situation and now go look for the good in it. It's a different approach that we've seen up to now. It could also be because the Chovos HaLevavos, as we saw, I don't know if we started, he spoke, started thinking out the Prushim, I think we did, who would escape and go to the mountains and whatever and leave their family so that they could be over Hashem without distraction. For us, it's not Shaykh, but there's a Musag of Precious in Avodas Hashem. And it could be that's why he doesn't mention the trust that Hashem will take care of you and get rid of it, because it could be that could be the best thing for you. is being alone and not having to worry about the wife and family and friends, whatever, is can sometimes be a big bracha. It may be, because he does. He brings out about the Prushim and how wonderful the Prushim is. We'll see. He'll bring from Eliyahu Novi. I don't think we saw that. So, but that was in the area of the Naviim. That was in the area of whatever. What we spoke about last week was he's a person can try to do that in his own way, in own precious. You don't have to leave town. You have to go to the mountain. But when you're in the Beis Midrash, be a Porush. You're in the Beis Midrash for 2 hours. So then those 2 hours, that's when you're from the Prushim. My phone switched off. No one knows where I am. No one can get hold of me. It doesn't have to be Dafkin the Beis Midrash. Find times in the day where you're alone and no one can disturb you, no one can bug you. You can focus all your attention on a way to Hashem. You know, that's the takeaway for me anyway. To go live in the mountains and cut yourself off. First of all, we would starve to death. We wouldn't know how to survive living in the mountains or in the caves or whatever. What would we do? We're not cut out for that kind of lifestyle, you know, unless you take your portable air conditioner with. I don't know how. Wouldn't do too well in the desert, you know, in this heat. So anyway, no, that's not the lesson. The lesson for us is find those moments in your own life. Sometimes you're alone, whatever, you're waiting, you're at a chassan and you're waiting for your wife or whatever, and then you have 10 minutes or 15 minutes alone. So use the time properly. Okay, so now he goes on and he starts talking here about Bizman and Navim, Yoitzim Imono Seyem, Umidboidedim Lechoivais Haboiro Aleim. In the times of the prophets, so they used to go away from their homes and isolate themselves and think about and meditate on their responsibilities to the Creator. A bit like you see by the Goyim today. It's not our derech today, but by the Goyim you see very much that is. If a Goy wants to be ruchniastic and he wants to do something, he has to leave. He's got to go live in the mountains, like the Himalayas, or the Buddhists there, whatever, or even the Christians. They go off to monasteries and they cut themselves off. They have to. It's not our main derech. It's for a person who's got to a level of where's precious in the Mesillas Yesharim. You've got to cover a lot of ground before you get to precious. We have a hard time just getting through the Hakdam of the Mesillas Yesharim. Never mind precious. But during the times in Avim, that's what they used to do. The Chofetz Chaim also. The Chofetz Chaim used to go into the forest and with a chain. He used to sit there and he used to work on betochen. Used to practice betochen. Used to go into the forest alone, and used to see by the gedolim. They used to go into the forest. They used to find time alone. You can also do that. The government of go for a walk on your own. You don't have to go into a forest. You can be alone today, just walking in the street. No one's gonna talk to you. No one's gonna say good Shabbos to you. You just walk in the street. No one's gonna even notice you. So you can be alone in the park. Go to the park. Sit there. Find time to be alone a little bit. Mot chashuv. Me'inyan Eliyahu im Elisha. There was the Maaseh there in Malachim with Eliyahu and Elisha. Shenemar alav shneim osat smodim lefona v'hu b'shneim esah. By Elisha there it says that Eliyahu found him playing with 12 pairs of oxen going before him. And he was with the 12th one. V'kiven sheromaz lo Eliyahu b'maidremez. And as soon as Eliyahu gave him a very small hint that he was to be a prophet, Eliyahu kind of gave him a very mild hint, you know, that Elisha, you're busy plowing and whatever, but you're about to become a prophet. So Elisha understood and he said to Eliyahu, let me kiss, please, my mother and her father, and then I'll go after you. And then it says, he went after Eliyahu. Elisha went after Eliyahu, and he served him. He became his apprentice, his Talmud. So Elisha understood from the remez that if he's going to become a Novi, then he has to leave home. He's got to be secluded. He's got to cut himself off from society. Okay? That's why the minute he understood that Eliyahu was telling him, you're going to be a Novi, he said, let me go say goodbye to my mother and father. You know, he didn't say, let me go buy a coat with 2 buttons, or let me go, get a turban or something. No. I got to say goodbye to mother because I'm going into isolation. I'm going to be cutting myself off. I'm going to go with my Rebbe into isolation. So he brings out a little bit of what I spoke about, the concept of that we saw, the Bale Musa, the Hasidim used to do this. They used to go off in isolation. They used to, today it's very hard to find. people who do this are usually not, it's not usually our derech. People that you find doing this are not always know what they're doing. But he brings here, it's a Sefer Chirinim, the Bir Halacha already, that once a week a person should withdraw from people and seclude himself with Hashem. Okay, I said it slightly differently. Use the time you're alone with Hashem already just to be alone with Hashem. You know, you're driving somewhere, you're on the bus somewhere, whatever. It's a good time to be alone with Hashem. It doesn't sound like you're alone. You're on a full bus with people. No, the gum cave. He's saying more. Yeah, he's saying you should actually take time once a week to go off and be alone with Hashem for however long. Davening, by the way, is a good time to do it as well. It's just during Shachris, it's also a good time to just be alone. Once heard from Rav Brevda, he spoke in Eishet Torah. I don't know if you were there when he spoke, Shlomo, when Rav Brevda came to Eishet Torah. I never forget. I don't remember too much of what he said, but I remember him saying that in Psukei Dezimra, try not to look up when somebody walks into the room. Don't look. What do you need to know who walked into the room for? You say Psukei Dezimra, put your head into the siddur and keep your head down. And it's also sort of seclusion. It's also a type of precious. The gum. But yeah, he's talking about going, withdraw from people, seclude yourself, later, and he should fix his thoughts in Hashem. Certainly, in Elul, a person should find time to do this more than regular. Sorry, my tshuva. And he says, yeah, he brings more interesting. Yeah, he brings from Revolvi. I'm not a big. I never had a Masoret. I never learned from anybody who was a Talmud of Revolvi, so I can't. I can't tell you that I know too much about Revolvi's Torah. I mean, I've looked in Arei Shur a little bit, but I don't have a Masoret. I don't know how to learn it properly. But he quotes him, yeah, and he says that the benefit of occasionally secluding oneself, once again, this is not our derech today. We need to find time to be alone. But the whole musag of precious that we saw by the Nevim and whatever, it's a lo bishvileinu. If you start doing it too much, you won't be normal. Not the thing to do. So Revolvi says like this, he says, if not for the night, we wouldn't know the stars. If you didn't have night time, you would never know that they're stars. They're stars, but you wouldn't know that there were stars. During the day, the light of the sun is so bright that you can't see the stars. Even if you go out to the best place to look at stars, you go to Mitzpah Ramon, but it's a full moon. So it's a bit of a disappointing experience because you can barely see the stars. You go on a dark night when there's no moon, wow. You can just like, you can lose your breath seeing the stars out there. So it's the same with the person's inner world. That works the same in our inner world. While he's amongst others, his focus is entirely on practical matters. He's aware of all the earthly aspects of his personality, how he rates people, how he deals with people, how he fixes problems, solves problems, deals with different situations. When you're alone, it's like the dark coming. It's like coming dark. You can start seeing things and getting in touch with things that you never knew existed within you. You go into the mountains on your own, you go somewhere, whatever, go for a walk in the park, you suddenly start feeling, you switch yourself off a little bit, you disconnect a little bit, you start feeling and you start seeing the lots of shining stars that we have inside of us. This is a Moshe Revolvi uses, more useful, I think. And that's why nighttime is such an important time, by the way. Today we don't know what nighttime is. Today we haven't got nighttime. You've got lights and chashmal, and people are up till 3 o'clock in the morning, and the makolet's open till 4 o'clock in the morning. And nighttime used to be an incredible. Nighttime's called time of das. Nighttime is when it's dark and you cut off from everything, and then all you're left with is your own inner reality. We don't have that today so much. It's a more datsuf. You don't have that kind of darkness. The Rambam says a person wants to have Keter Torah, he has to learn at night. Wow, what's the big deal about learning at night? And if you learn the whole day, what's the big deal? Because the learning of night has a different quality. It's a quality of you alone and you being in touch with yourself. So we don't have that today. Unfortunately, we don't have this musak called night. Even in the yeshivas, it's a churban. I'm telling you, it's a terrible tragedy. Bokrim up till 2-3 o'clock in the morning. I'm talking about the ones that are learning. I'm not talking about the ones that are wasting their time. It's a churban anyway. But good Bokhrim, they're up till 3 o'clock in the morning learning. Aval, whatever. You have to know how to use the knots properly also. Anyway, that's not a subject now. So So these are some of the things a person used to use his own creativity, use your own seichel, make your own judgments, and find time to be alone. It's a bit of a scary experience. Most people don't enjoy being alone. But Tetzel always used to say, for a person who's in touch with his own inner reality, being stuck on a deserted island is just consummate joy. It would be like, you know, the best experience you could ever happen. For most people, that would be torture. For most people, being stuck alone on your own with yourself for a few months on a deserted island, no matter how beautiful the island is, no matter how nice the coconuts are, you go out of your mind. And yet for a person who has a well-developed das, a well-developed inner reality, there would be the biggest simcha in his life to be stuck out there alone. You know, that's it. But we're far away from it. We would person go insane from being in solitary confinement. So that's why one has to be careful how you use these tools. Okay, so he goes right. He says, V'amro lechad mi ha-prushim. It's told about one of the prushim. She'nichnas le'medina achas lo'hoires es yoshveya avoydus elokim. He went into a place to mechazak people in a avoydus Hashem. V'yimotzem lo'ishim tseva echad v'balbusheyem v'tachshiteyem. And they're all wearing the same color. The clothes and the jewelry, all the same color. And he also saw that they buried their dead in the entrances of the homes. They didn't have a special place in a cemetery. They buried their dead by the knisa to the house. He didn't know just any woman amongst them. And he asked him about this. I mean, it's a bit of a strange thing. You know, you come into a town. You know, you get on a plane, you go there, you land in Seattle, and then everyone's wearing the same color clothes, the same thing. There's no woman there. The people bury their dead in the front door. It's at the, you know, you would, you know, you hopefully you would notice and you would ask, like, what's going on here? So he did. So they answered him. They said, Ma'ashanu loiv shim tseva echad, shelo yeh nika ha'oni min ha'oshir. The reason why we all wear the same clothes is that you won't be able to tell the difference between a poor person and a rich person. So the poor person shouldn't be embarrassed. First of all, that the rich man shouldn't become a balgaiva and glory in his wealth. And also, the oni shouldn't come to feel disgraced by himself. And said that our condition while we're living on this world, in this world, should correspond to the future condition when we're buried beneath it. Because when you get buried, everybody wears the same thing. So therefore, we wanted the way we live on the earth to be the same as when we live in the earth. Rich men and poor men all land up in the same Sa's house in the next world, in the kever. The kever is the same for everybody. There's no special treatment down there. So that was the first thing while they dressed the same. V'nemar al echad miha malochim. He brings a raya for why they did this, some sort of a masoira precedent for why they did this. Shehaya nis'ara ben avada v'loaya nika b'nayim. There was a certain one of the kings who got himself, he would mix with these people like no one knew who he was. He would disguise himself as one of the locals and hang around with them. So that he wouldn't feel gavadik, he wouldn't dress himself in the kingly garments, whatever, and he would go there and mix with them or whatever, so he would feel like one of them. So he wouldn't become a balgaivus. That's what one of the kings did. So that was the first practice. The reason why they put the kvarim by the of their deceased near the homes, the knisa to their homes, so it will take their example to heart and be ready to die. And then we'll be motivated to prepare ourselves properly, the provisions we'll need for the next world. It'll motivate us to get ready. You know that when you go to Levi or whatever, you come back very motivated to, you know, get your act together, you know. Yeah, they had the kever right next to the house, so they saw it all the time. It was a way of arousing their reality that's where they headed as well, and it would encourage them to use this world correctly. That's one of the things in the Mishnah Pigavas is remember the day of death all the time and you won't come to sin. So they used the kever as an aid, as a study aid to remember Yom HaMisa. And as far as your observation, you notice that we don't have any women and children around us. You must know that we set aside a special, village or whatever. What does he call it? Kiriya. I don't know what a kiriya is. A village, a neighborhood nearby. When anyone needs to do something that has to do with the woman or to deal with something in charge with the children, he goes there, he does what he needs, and he comes home, comes back here. Because we've seen how much the mental distraction, the loss, the exertion, the effort that when we're living together with him, that the loss that it causes us. And all the tranquility one gets when one's far away from them. The serenity we get, the manucha that we get from all this, when we're away from all of this, enables us to choose the olam haba, choose the priorities, help us prioritize olam haba over the matters of this world. It helps us to live olam adika way rather than to live an olam adika ze kind of a reality. So this is very far from us. I mean, we can't even, you might even get irritated. You might have, if you're honest with yourself, when you were reading that, you might have even got a little bit irritated. You know, what are you talking about? That's how you treat your wife and children.
Sounds like escaping your responsibility, your Christ.
But if you would, that's why you're 100%. That's the mice I told you about of Pinkus, about the guy who wanted to go up and learn like a yeshiva bocher again. So you just want to be a yeshiva bocher again with a wife. That's all. You don't want to become much bigger than that. You just want to be a yeshiva bocher. Then you can't do it. No, you have to. That's what I said. This is not for everybody. It's not for us, for sure not. We're talking about the Chovis Lavov is referring to people that came before him, the people that were greater than him. And he reached the highest levels of Yerushalayim that a human being can attain. That's what Rishonim said about him.
He's talking about a real scenario that really happened, that really was.
Yeah.
amongst Yidden, like holy Yidden. Or is it... This is like one of the tzaddikim that came to a Medina or Prushim that came.
One of the Prushim that came to a Medina.
So that's what this Medina did. This was like a Prushim Koilo, basically.
He came to a town in order to, he used to travel around, like they used to have the traveling, Magidim or whatever. He used to go around, Machazak people, and teach Torah. So he came to this village or whatever, and then that's what he noticed.
And this village is people who are, so to speak, at least in this level, tzaddikim. I'm saying they
doing... seems to be bringing it as a shvach. Yeah, he's telling you this is a shvach.
It's a good place. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. We already saw what's relevant to us. That's not relevant to us. You see the changes there. There used to be a time where husbands never went to their wife, and the wife was going to have a baby. The husbands never went with. The mother used to go to the hospital with her and have a baby. What is that? What do you need your husband around you when you're having a baby for? You know, it's like so they never used to go. The chazanish used to beg the avreichim, please don't let go with your wife. It's important that you go with your wife. You can even be mechal Shabbos to go with her. You know what I'm saying? We're in a different. We have to recognize the reality we're living in. So what I want to say is, and I've said this always, is the principles haven't changed. You have to apply the principles to your situation. That's what Revolvi was saying. You have to find time to be a Porush. You can't go and live in book into a hotel, that serves you three meals a day, and you just live the life of luxury and a king, and whenever you need your wife, you pop in and say, that's not gonna work. You see people who lived like that to a certain extent, was Rabbi Lashev, let's say, Zatzal. He had a wife who could deal with that. he was Porush Lagamre from Inyan of the world. You know, but not, sorry, no, that's not fair. He wasn't Porush Lagamre. He still took care of his kid Shiduchim. He was a dying on the Beis Din. You know, he used to still meet people at Kabbalah Kal. Rav Elasher was probably the biggest Porush we ever had.
You know, he still lived at home.
Yeah, for sure. There were times where he didn't. Like, I know Pesach, the Rebbe used to send him to, she used to save the whole year and then send him to a hotel for the weeks before Pesach because the cleaning, whatever, used to disturb his learning. So she used to send him off with one of the kids to a hotel. Okay, Masada, but I'm saying even that's the Velasha was from the greats of this area. And you see, even he still stayed at home. He came home. He still led a, you know, for us, not normal, but for, you know, the Musak of Prushim today is not, you know, there's a Koilal, I don't know if it's still there. When I lived in Beit Meir 35 years ago, there was a Koilal Prushim there. The guys used to come Sunday morning and go home Thursday night, or Friday morning. But there were no beds, I told you, there were no beds in that Koilal. There was a Beis Midrash and a little dining room on the side, and that was it. It wasn't like they came there to, it was a snooker table and a ping pong table and a, you know, a big screen, you know. No. There was a shtende and svarim, and that's what they did. They learned and davened, whatever. So it could be there are guys out there still that are sheikh to that today, but it's very rare, and that's not a derech. Anybody?
No, but that shouldn't be the derech since Avraham Avinu. That's the whole thing we learned to Rav Taba, that we're not shayim v'ayver. That's the whole point. We're meant to engage in the world. What are you doing leaving your wife and in a village? Like, that doesn't sound right.
Nachon, I told you that should, and probably did stir some irritation in you when you read that.
See, no, but it's not even about being irritated. It's about why would the Lechayv son of others bring that as an example? If that's not the right thing to do with life, that's changed since I've been.
No. Once again, it is the right thing to do, but you have to know how to apply the principle. He's using a case. We have to extract the principle from that case. I'll make it harder for you. A Nazir. A Nazir is also Perish, right? A Nazir is a sub Porush, no? He's Perish Miwan, he's Perish from cutting his hair, he's Perish from becoming Tamemais. It doesn't sound terribly onerous. I'm happy not to have a haircut for a month. Nishka Fairlach, and I won't go to a cemetery for a month. I could also live with that. Wine without a month. Yeah, I could. You know, the whiskey's fine. You can drink whiskey. You just can't drink wine. So I'll drink whiskey instead of wine. I'll be fine. I'll survive. Yeah. Have a beer. You know, you'll survive. Yeah. And when the guy does that, he has to bring a chattis. When he's finished his 30 days of Naziris, he has to bring a chattis. Why? Because you held yourself back from functioning properly in Hashem's world. Now you're allowed to do it because you need that to take you to a certain level of holiness. You need it in order to boost yourself. But if you do that and you hold yourself back, you've got to bring a chattis. It's kind of like you did something wrong. So never mind your bugging, Jonathan. Is you see, the Torah itself frowns upon Naziris, the musag of precious at that level. I mean, it's a good thing to do if you know how to do it properly. Same thing here. The Chovos of Ros is bringing this because there is a time in a person's life and a space in a person's life where this is something that's a necessary part of his growth and development, if it's shaykh to him. The fact that we're not shaykh to it anymore, okay? The Chovos of Ros was talking to people that it was shaykh to. So I'm saying one step further. This is all shaykh to us because this is Torah. I have to apply it to my situation. I have to find ways of being a porush for me. Yeah, that once again, that doesn't mean you know, find another apartment for your wife and then you live this, you know, you get together with the guys and you live all together with the guys at the country club. And no, what are we talking about? But you have to find time and space in your life, plan it, where you can be, you know, a porush, whether it's 10 minutes a day, an hour a week, time where she just isn't part of your reality right now because you need to be alone with Hashem. That I can apply from this, that I can take from this. They were able to do it the whole week. I can only do it, I don't know. I can only do it, yeah. I can only do a bit less. As you get older, it becomes easier because both of you are looking for that space a little bit. And sometimes if you've built your marriage properly, you can be alone with your wife when you're in the room with her also. You can be alone and she's in the room and you're both alone and yet you're completely together because you become, you know, let's say, getting closer to Bosse Echad. When you're younger, that's not so posh. Because you're busy dealing with kids and Torah and Parnassah and this and this. When you get older, life does to a certain extent, you get more mellow. And life around you gets a little bit more mellow because you don't have that day-to-day grind. You know? And that's why Hashem gives it to us. Because you've got to start getting ready. You know, that's why you get this emptiness while preparing for the journey. You know, we spoke about that in Vaisyud a lot of times. That's the second Shana Rishona. You know, that's what it's there for. So what I'm saying is you have to take what we've learned about these things. They seem extreme, but you have to play same shiduchim. If you would try and marry off your kids today the way they got married in the times of the Rishonim, it would be a disaster. You should tell me the Torah has changed. No, the Torah hasn't changed one bit. The principles of shidduchim are exactly the same. We're just applying them to our situation. That's all. But the principles never changed.
It's a very hard thing to get your head around it's so not part of our reality. Like the last thing I could think about.
It is part of our reality.
No, maybe your reality. I'm just telling you.
I can't
imagine what it means being alone with Hashem. When I get a free moment, if it's not wasted on some other rubbish that you sweep up and through your phone, it would be thinking about, you know, what you can do better in your life, not just be.
So that's why you need to hear this chayvus halavavus, because a very important part of a person's mental health and spiritual development is time alone with yourself, to just be, to just hang out with Hashem. A very important part of a person's spiritual makeup. If you can't,
what do you mean to do? Just sit there. Like, honestly, like, what do you, I don't understand. Can you, any practical example of what you're talking about? Like, what do you mean being alone by Hashem? Just being alone is being alone with Hashem. So what, like, do you mean talking to Hashem, thinking of Hashem? Like, what are you saying?
Could be. He says, yeah, I'll just tell you what he says. Yeah, just caught my eye as you were asking. He says, you should fix his thoughts on Hashem as if you were already standing before him on the day of judgment, and should speak to him as a servant to his master, as a son to his father.
That sounds like he's Hesbodidus.
You want to call it Hesbodidus? Okay. Means what? What does Hesbodidus mean?
Breslov didn't invent Hesbodidus. Sitting alone and talking to Hashem.
Sitting alone and talking to Hashem. Okay. That's what's called Hesbodidus. Call Hesbodidus. Yeah. I call it hanging out. I call Hesbodidus. The Chofetz Chaim used to go off into the forest and be alone and work on Betochem. What does that mean? I don't know.
Yeah. Don't know
that. Be alone to think, to just, I'll tell you and I'll give you a tip. Go off and be alone and don't do anything. Don't think about anything. Be aware of the fact that you're trying to connect with Hashem, and then just don't do anything. See where your head goes. See where your mind goes. Some people call it meditation. It's some form of meditation. No, it is. It's some form of a meditation. Shmona Esrei is a form of meditation as well. I'm just saying. You've just pointed out a real reality of this generation, and that is being alone. Doesn't mean I'm in the room alone with three different screens. And that's not being alone. Being alone is you switch off your phone, you disconnect. I can be alone. I love being alone. Just give me the books that I want to read, and, you know, give me the movie that I want to watch, and the, you know, the things I want to do. And for sure, it's easy to be alone. Give me the Gemara that I'm enjoying now. That I can do. No, but just be alone means alone. You alone, nothing, no distractions. There's a more and more touching. If you can do
that's
it for
like five, you said, that drive you insane.
Yeah. So it's something we need to, that's what he's saying. It's something you need to be aware of and something you need to get in touch with, because it's ma'od mod chashuv. Now, we're not allowed
like you said, Breslov never invented it. They make a big story about it. But Lamaisa, what they're doing is what you're talking about. I don't know their methods or whatever. I don't know what they do out there. But essentially, the concept, conceptually, you go out. You sit alone for a bit and you be with Hashem, like you're saying. That's essentially what they call his Hesbodidus, and they make this massive thing that's kola everything in the whole world. But
okay. We're not making kola to Rekule, we're saying it's
right, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. But Lamaisa, the Nakuda of what they're doing is matching up to our application somewhere in our life. Correct. Of doing a bit of that ourselves.
Correct.
It's the way I'm just saying it because I had certain experiences out when I went on some trips with like Akiva Gilbert and stuff like that, and we had some exercises on the beach where everyone went and sat alone for 20 minutes, and when I used to do that, it was like the most powerful experience. It was this that you're talking about. It was really amazing, and we don't get enough time like that. You know,
that's why I said you can't do what the Chovas HaLevavos says, but take the principle and apply it to your life.
Yeah,
Set aside a certain Musa Seder, by the way. Musa Seder in these shivas. That's what it's meant to be. It doesn't look anything like this today. The Torah Savram already bemoans the fact that when the yeshivas accepted Musa into their lives, the Musa that Rabbi Yisrael Salanta had in mind, well, that's not what they accepted. It's Chochmas HaMusa and there's Limud HaMusa. Limud HaMusa got accepted. About Chochmas HaMusa, getting in touch with yourself, discovering your real. Jonathan, we spoke about this often. Taking time out to discover what your real is. Forget about the ideal. The ideal you learn when you're learning Shulchan Aruch. You know what the ideal is. But who's the real? Who's me? Who am I? What am I about? That's also part of being alone. Just being alone and getting in touch with yourself.
Yeah, no, but we're saying slightly different of being alone with Hashem. That's what's got blown me away because it's so far.
Fine, such so a start challenge. With being alone with yourself. Start with being alone.
That's
when you're davening Shmoneh Esrei. Let me just ask you a question. No, I have a hard time understanding why it's blowing you. Let me ask you a question. When you're davening Shmoneh Esrei, aren't you alone with Hashem? It's not like a weird new concept that we just put on the table.
No. The weird new concept is what you're saying is when you have time to do things and you're not doing something that's part of serving Hashem, to just sit there and actually be like, okay, I'm alone with Hashem. I know it sounds obvious to you, and that would be like, well, obviously, what are you doing? Like, you're with Hashem, but it's not. When I'm alone, the last thing I think about is, how is it, Hashem? It's like, I'm free. Like, I don't know. I'm just being real with you. Get distracted and waste time doing some nonsense, or you sit and you think. It's very, very rare where occasionally, once in a year or twice in a year, you actually sit and talk to Hashem about your life and how you really feel. But that's very rare.
You're talking about yourself. You're talking for yourself now, yeah?
Yeah, I'm talking personally. I don't know for everyone else. That's what I find.
When you say you mean me.
No, I mean me. Yeah, I mean me. That's what I find.
Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah. No, that's fine. That's good. So what I'm suggesting you do is take 5 minutes a week. Yeah. And start using 5 minutes a week for this and see where it goes.
I like it. I really like it.
The Chovas HaLevavos. And what I'm saying, is what the Chovas HaLevavos is saying. If you find yourself in a lone situation and it disturbs you, then he gives you eitzes how to deal with it. Yeah, 4 eitzes how to use that aloneness properly. And then he says, there's even a lechatchila to be alone. And then he describes some stuff that's not relevant to us, but the principle is relevant to me. You need to find time to be a porush. When? Fine. For me, it's 5 minutes. For another guy, it's 1 week. There was Rabbi Elia Lopion's group of holy people used to do it once every 10 days. They used to have every 10th day was holy. They used to do one every 10 days. They used to be, they never spoke. And it was like a Yom Kippur once every 10 days. Huh? That's what they did. We're working on our little mission. And our little mission is okay, fine. So I need to find a little bit of time, whether it's once a week, once a year, once a month, to just be alone a little bit. That's all. Not to make a whole religious service out of it and a whole avoid out of it and a whole new religion out of it. No, just spend time alone with myself. And in spending time alone with myself, I spend time with Hashem. Okay.
Yep. Thank you.
Hashem. Okay.
All right. How's your, is your, when it's in the recording or for 1 second?
Yeah, I'll switch it off now. 1 second.